see in verses 11 and 12, and part of verse 13, that all creatures are to praise God because of his excellent name. It's because of who he is. I've had people say to me, well, I believed God like you declare him, that is sovereign and holy and just and accomplishing his will as he will, where he will, when he will. In their rebellion, they say, I don't find any reason to worship such a God. And my answer is, if I believed God to be as you say, that he's up there, that he's created all things, but he's not messing with man's will. It's like one preacher said, God is sovereign in all things, and he is sovereignly determined not to interfere with man's will. That's how he defined God's sovereignty. But I'll tell you, if that's such a case, then I wouldn't even pray to such a God. There's no reason even to address such a God. Especially if the thought is, he's already set everything in motion, now it's up to you to do whatever. Such a God is not praiseworthy. But here in Scripture is a God who is so praiseworthy that all creatures in this hymn are called upon to praise him because of who he is, because of his excellent name. But the point I want you to see here is that preaching the word of truth is to proclaim what the Scriptures teach. Let's get to the word as quickly as possible. Start with the word and then do the explaining. It's like we read it here and then come back and do the explaining. That's what preaching the word of truth is to proclaim what the Scriptures teach. And let's beware. I watch some of these popular preachers and teachers on TV, and they have these fancy things up on the backdrop. And people sitting there with their notepads, there's no Bible. The preachers want you to take their word for it. Well, you talk about trouble. That's taking the person's word for it. How many times has somebody quoted even a part of Scripture and it strikes you a little bit odd? You go back and start reading it and then you realize they just quoted part of the Scripture. They didn't quote the whole thing. They didn't even quote it in its context. That's why I love it that looking around, everybody's got a Bible open. And everybody is looking at this word and what it says. And I endeavor as much as possible when I'm preaching, not to just say, well, we don't have time to quote it or to look at it, but let's just quote it. No, let's go to it. Let's look at it. Because what's important and vital is the word. And I believe Peter gives us this example, preaching the word of truth, is to proclaim what the Scriptures teach. Here's an example over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 of why we're careful. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul again says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you. You can't say preach and not say the gospel when it comes to Paul or Peter or any of us. Because that's their message. That's their subject. And he says, which also you have received and wherein you stand. Receive how? God having opened their hearts to receive them, to welcome. That word welcome means to receive. Were not those that Christ came to save, over whom God had established him the representative, were they not rebels and sinners by nature, and I have to say we, because I include myself, there would have been no need for Christ to come and have suffered. Stop and think about it. What is it that dictated that Christ should come and suffer what he did at the hands of his own? As it says there in Scripture, he came unto his own received him not. Were it not for the seriousness of the sin and rebellion of those who opposed him. That's what makes Christ's action in saving sinners such as we are all the more vital. Just as we see David here, when he heard the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom, verse 13, David said unto all his servants, it's time to move. And he went into action to do on their behalf what they couldn't do for themselves. So I see David here as a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. When notice was brought to David there in verse 13 of Absalom's rebellion, and notice the issue, David was told that the hearts of the men of Israel were after Absalom. Well, where is the problem that any of us have as sinners? Is it not in the heart? Is it not in a heart that is depraved and fallen and at enmity with the Christ of God? Just like we see these here, they preferred to follow a man, Absalom, who was not the Lord's anointed, than to follow after Christ. And I know we can sit and scratch our heads sometimes why people persist in the way they do, even against the Christ of Scripture. Well, we know the answer. It's the heart problem. It's a depravity of the heart.